So I am a little more old school than Jimmy. If I've got to talk, read, remember, and push a button, it's not going to be pretty. So we'll just use the stand here. I'm going to try to raise it up. See, I don't even know how to raise it up. You just pull it. There we go. That'll work. All right. Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here today to share with you. I want to share something that God opened my eyes up to last year. And I'd never thought of it before, but he just really blew me away. A lot of you know about our son's journey. And August the 4th, 2017, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And on January the 17th, 2019, he went home to be with the Lord. And so a few months after that, Susan and I were out at the cemetery, and it was pretty hard this particular day. And then God gave me a whole new revelation of something that I had never even thought about before. So today I've entitled the message, God's Love, New Level Revealed. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I would ask you to stand, if you're able, out of honor to God's word for the reading thereof. We'll begin by reading verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, Lord, just asking your presence here today. God, praying that you would speak to each and every heart. For Lord, I know that you have a message for each and every one of us. And God, we would take that message as the Spirit speaks to us. And Lord, we would apply it as you see fit. I pray today, Lord, for comfort, for strength. I pray today for salvation. I ask, God, that you would move in a mighty way. I pray you would remove any and all distractions, God, that the enemy would have absolutely no authority, no presence in this place. And again, Lord, I ask you to speak today, and we will give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So let me apologize for not having a slideshow or PowerPoint. I didn't get that done. I took my computer to the Century Computer on Thursday, thinking I'd get it back on Friday. I hope I get it back now Monday. So it's like, well, I don't have my PowerPoint. But anyway, Jimmy said they can live without it one time. So you can take that up with Jimmy. Yeah. There you go. Let him know about it. All right. So it's a privilege, as I said, to stand here in the Pope of Authenticity's pulpit this morning. And Jimmy and I go way back. He's a great friend of ours. We've served in a few different countries, Guatemala, Mexico, Africa, on mission trips, and just a great guy, as you well know. Well, getting back to the scripture, we see that Paul begins here by praising God. I mean, everything that he had been through, he still has reason to praise God, and what an applicable way to begin things off. So he's praising God, and then he refers to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He confirms that Jesus has a God, that Jesus has a Father. And you see, this is very critical, period, just because it is. But it's also critical in the message that the Lord has laid on my heart for you today. There's that father-son relationship. There's that son having a God relationship. And so it's very critical. There is a God of comfort and a Father of compassion. And that would be our holy God, God the Father. Here you see, my friends, comfort and compassion are from God's character. I mean, that's where they originated. It's part of who he is, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here shortly. He comforts us in all our troubles, not just this trouble, not this circumstance, not this category. He comforts in all of our circumstances. We need to remember that from day to day. I think a lot of times we get busy and forget it. But there is no trouble, there's no struggle, there's no burden, there's no disappointment that God does not comfort in if we will just lean into him. So what does God's comfort mean? Now, a lot of times we wish God's comfort would be that he just steps in and takes our issues from us. But that's not God's comfort at all. You see, the Greek word for comfort means to come alongside to help. The English word for comfort is derived from two Latin words, which mean with strength. So God comes along to give us strength, to empower us to get through these struggles, through these hard times. He doesn't just come in and eliminate them, but he gives us the power to press on, so to speak. So he empowers us to face troubles, not eliminate them. So notice that the scripture tells us when we go through things as Christians, they're not just for us. In fact, Paul writes here, he says, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, we receive comfort as a trust or as a stewardship, and we are to use that, be good stewards of that. And as God has given us comfort, that comfort is to be flowed through us to others. Let me ask you a question this morning. Which would have a greater impact? If I told you, if you were going through something and you came to me and you told me about it, what would have a better impact? Would it be if I said, you know what, I was down at Super One the other day and there was an inquirer there, and so I just picked it up while I waited, and you know, I read about something like you're going through. Or if I came to you and I said, man, let me tell you what, I know what you're going through. I've been through the same thing, or I've been through something very similar, and I didn't know how I was going to get through it, but God showed up, and let me tell you, man, he brought me through it. It wasn't easy, but he gave me the power to get through it, and let me tell you, he'll do the same thing for you. Now, you tell me which is going to make a bigger difference. The hair say, yes, sir, or the experience. And the experience will every time. So God comforts us so that we can be comforters to others. So let's look at verse 5. The scripture says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Christ suffered for everyone who would receive him. Amen? He suffered for everybody. But those who put their faith in him and receive what he has done for us, we can expect to suffer as well. We read in the Bible where Jesus has told his disciples on several occasions that they can expect to suffer because he suffered. In other places, it's speaking to us as well as where it was speaking to the disciples. Because of our association with Christ, you know, somebody doesn't like somebody we like, they're not going to like us, amen? And we start acting like that person, well, they're not going to like us even more. And we're called to believe in Christ and to do what Christ does, to be the little Christ, so to speak, or to be Christ-like. And so if we are like Jesus, Jesus suffered, and we can expect to suffer. And we will be comforted by him, because just as the suffering flows from Jesus to us, his comfort flows through us to others. Look at verse 6 and 7. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. And Paul is telling the Corinthians here that, hey, you know, I suffered, others suffer, I comfort, and others will comfort you. But he says, notice, my suffering was for you. It's for your benefit. Let me see exactly what the wording is here. It is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. You see, my friends, Jesus suffered. Why did he suffer? How did it benefit the Corinthians? How did it benefit the other churches that Paul went on missionary trips in order to start a church, to invest in others? You see, first off, he brought the word of God. He brought the gospel to them. They benefited through what he went through to get there, to give it to them in salvation. But it doesn't start there. Stop there. It's also in living out that salvation. My friends, the Bible tells us that we are to live out our salvation. Amen. The Bible talks about babies being nursing and having milk, and we're to get to solid food, we're to grow. And so Paul continues his suffering. He continues his journeys in order to reach out to others. You know what? Christ suffered, Paul suffered. Christ comforted Paul, and Paul comforted the people. And in doing so, he could stand firm that their patience would stand in order that they could go forth and be the church, to be God's children to others, and share through their experiences what they had been through. Now, before we move on to verse 8 and 9, I want to throw out a comment out there that you have probably heard. You may have even said, and don't walk out on me, because I'm going to share with you what the word says, okay? Well, you know, the Bible says God will not put more on you than you can bear. Well, first off, the Bible does not say that. You see, my friends, the Bible, I believe this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where the scripture says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You see, the city of Corinth, it was a port town. It was where people came in, and there were a lot of merchants and everything. It was known for its sinfulness. And so the church was under all of this temptation. And so Paul was writing to them, God won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are, God will provide a way for you to stand up under it. Y'all know what that way is? His name is Jesus. Man, when we can't take temptation, when we just don't want to say no, we need to say Jesus. And God will provide a way. But God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But I believe he will allow more to come on us than we can bear. Which we need to understand the phrase we hear is, God won't put more on you than you can bear. But here's the fact. God won't allow more on you than you can bear. You see, my friends, did I get that right? Anyway, roll with me, okay? So now I lost my whole train of thought altogether. Well, I know I was talking about God won't put more on you than you can bear. Okay, so what I want you to understand, some things come upon us because of our own doing, amen? Because of consequences of bad decisions or whatever the case may be. But some things just happen, amen? I mean, disease is right there at the top. Some disease happens because of things we do, but a lot of disease just happens. And it's out of our control. It's because we live in a sinful world. But what the fact of the matter is, nothing comes on us that God does not allow. Nothing. I mean, you think back to Job. Job gave Satan orders of what he could do. At first, he couldn't touch Job. And then he comes back because he couldn't get Job to deny God. And so then he comes back and says, you can't kill him. And he could only do what God allowed. And it's the same way in our lives. God will allow more on us than we can bear. Yes. And I'm going to show you that through the scriptures this morning. Let me get to my other page. See, I'm not savvy like Jimmy. Good. So let's look at Paul and Timothy. Verse 8 and 9a. The scripture says this, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed. I love that right there because a lot of times the world's uninformed about this. Amen? And right here Paul says, we do not want you, Paul and Timothy do not want you to be uninformed. Brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Verse 9a, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. God won't put more on you than you can bear. God won't allow more on you than you can bear. Well, he did Paul and Timothy. And I tell you, I got a long way to go to fill the shoes of Paul and Timothy. Amen. And I imagine I could pretty much say that about all of us. This is exactly what Paul was talking about. You see, through his word, God wants people to know the extremity of sufferings. He uses the phrase, under great pressure. Now let me share a New Testament word picture with you this morning. A donkey is a beast of burden, amen? And who created the donkey? God, okay? Well, when God created the donkey, the beast of burden, a donkey was created to carry loads. And so a donkey will stand there as you load it up. That's what it's designed to do, what God created it to do. And then when you get to the limit of that donkey carrying a load, if you keep stacking more weight on that donkey, because he is a beast of burden, he will stand there and take that weight. In fact, he will stand there until the weight is so heavy, such pressure upon him, that his bones will begin to shatter. That, my friends, is a lot of pressure, amen? And Paul said he and Timothy were under great pressure, more than they could bear. The scripture actually says, far beyond our ability to endure. What does that mean? More than we could bear. It was beyond us. The scripture says, so that we despaired even of life. I'll come back to that in a minute. In our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. In our hearts, we were fixing to die. More than they could bear. They thought they would never live through it. They thought they were going to die. Despaired even of life. Despaired means to lose all hope. It literally means no passage, no way out, no exit. Would you say these guys had more on them than they could bear? Hey, they said they did. They thought they were at the point of death. Now, we don't know exactly what Paul and Timothy were talking about right there, but we do know what Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Let me just read it. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Can I just stop right there? You flogged me 39 times, and I'm going to bet this cat's gone. You know what I'm saying? I'm done. Enough's enough. But not Paul. Let me continue on what he went through in this particular writings of his. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Man, he had been loaded down, hadn't he? Good thing he was serving God and life was a bed of roses, huh? I believe because he was serving God, it's the only reason he made it out alive through all of this, because God still had plans for him. Even in the midst of his ministry, God allowed things upon him because of his faithfulness, and God had a plan. God's always got a plan, my friends. So Paul believed they would die for the gospel's sake. They were done. It was more than they could bear. Now, let's look at 9b. Have you ever heard the phrase, there's some big butts in the Bible? I'll tell you, this is a big but. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. But on God. You see, in their ability, they were without hope. There was no way out. There was no passage. They were done. They were sentenced to death. It was all over. But God. All they had to do was rely on him. They couldn't rely on their own ability. It was too much for them. But they could rely on God. Why? Because God can bear all. There's nothing God cannot bear. Amen. Nothing at all. What we can't bear, God can if we turn it over to him. Now, Paul throws in there, who raises the dead. In other words, God can do anything. Man, he can take a dead person and raise them up from life. But did you see the symbolism there? Who was symbolically dead? Us, yeah. But in these particular scriptures, the guys, Paul and Timothy, because in and of themselves, they would die. It was more than they can bear. It was over. That was their life sentence, death. But God. So symbolically, couldn't we say God raised him from the dead? Absolutely. And I think Paul wrote that in there symbolically, but he also wrote it in there to tell us the power of the God we serve. Amen? So, God will put more on you than you can bear, but not more than he can bear. So, the scripture tells us God is the Father of compassion and the God of comfort. Amen? Back in verse 1, about verse 3. Where does that come from? Well, they come from his love. I mean, if we read 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and 16, the scripture tells us God is love. And from this love comes these other characteristics of God. Compassion and comfort. So what do we know about God's love? Well, we know a few things, don't we? I don't think we by any means know it all. I know I didn't and still don't. But I want to share a few things of God's love. Isaiah 54:10, the scripture says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. You see, my friends, God's love is unfailing. I hope we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In this one verse, we see that God's love is giving, it's forgiving, and it's eternal. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, than he laid in his life for his friends. God's love is sacrificial. Ephesians 3, 18, Paul prayed for the saints that they may have power to grasp how wide and high, how long and high and deep, and how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. You see, my friends, we can't even measure God's love. Amen. It's beyond measure. Psalm 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love's enduring. But you know what the rest of that psalm says? There's 26 verses. That's verse 1. Verse 2 through 26 end just like verse 1. His love endures forever. Do you think that's pretty adamant? God's love is unending. Romans 8, 38, and 39. I hope you know this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God. You see, my friends, God's love is inseparable. There's nothing like God's love. And I tell you, if we put some time in it, there's no telling how many other attributes we could find to God's love, because it's beyond us. God's ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much bigger than ours are, that it's just amazing. So, I was in a state of more than I could bear. Susan and I were out at the gravesite, and man, it was just one of those days. Just felt like nothing we could do, or I could do, but explode. God knew I needed his compassion and his comfort. I know God died for my sins. He gave his son for me to die. For me to live. His son died so that I may live. I know all of that. But my friends, there's an enemy out there. Amen. John 10:10 tells us he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And anytime God does something, you know what he's going to do? He's going to counteract. He's going to try to counterfeit what God does. And so I'm standing out there just broken, and God knew I needed his compassion, his comfort, and his love. It was beyond me. I just couldn't take it. And then God just kind of says it to my heart, what I already knew. Remember that father-son relationship God had with Jesus? Well, I have a father-son relationship with my son. And my son had a relationship with God. And you see, my friends, God told me, he said, you know, Jay, just in my heart, he said, I lost my son too. And I did that for you. I did that for him. And I'm like, I know that. Man, I appreciate it, God. Thank you. You know, but then the enemy rears his ugly head. And it's like the devil and the angel thing going on, you know, and the enemy starts telling me, he says, yeah, Jay, but you know God knew that it was just 3 days. You know God knew that in 3 days his son would be alive on this earth again. And then he says, do you know when your son will be alive on the earth again? And it's like, I know God's faithful, but the old enemy's jacking with me. And then God shows up. He said, just to my heart, I didn't hear an audible voice or anything like that, but the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and this rocked my world. Because before, I could never understand this. I'd never thought of it. Nobody had ever told me this. But God said to me, you know, I watched my son too. You see, Jacob went through 5 months of chemo, and it was brutal. Kid had never been sick before in his life. and it was brutal. And then he went through the remission, and then it came back, and he went through 5 more months before going home to be with the Lord. And from the day one, when that boy, who's bigger than I am, was diagnosed with leukemia, day one, his mom and I wanted 2 things. Number one, we wanted God just to take it away, eliminate it. But that wasn't God's plan. Number two, we wanted one of us to be able to yank him out of that bed, primarily me, and say, "You're well, I got this," and take his place. Obviously couldn't do that. We prayed. We had many of you people here praying. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. But then God said, "I know you saw your boy and you couldn't do what you wanted to do." And in his spirit, God said, "You know what? I saw my boy suffer beyond suffering of anybody on the face of this earth has or ever will. And where you couldn't do what you wanted to do, I could have." He said, "You wanted to, you couldn't. I could have, but I wouldn't. Because I love you. I love that boy. I love your family. And I love mankind. So what he could have done, he wouldn't." And I tell you, just ever hair on my body stood up, just overwhelmed at God's love. You know, it's one thing, and if many of y'all have lost loved ones, many of y'all have gone through things, or maybe even going through things where you would give anything if you could take the place of someone else, but you can't. God could have, but he wouldn't. And that was just mind-boggling. He gave his son, and then he watched him suffer. And I think of watching suffer, whew, man, but God wouldn't stop it. And man, I tell you, that changed my world. How much God loves me and how much he loves you. You see, the struggle was beyond me. I promise you, me and his mama both, we wouldn't be here today. But God. You know what? I'm by no means the only one who goes through stuff like this or maybe going through stuff like this. But I want you to understand God's faithfulness and his love. And when we go through these things, what does the scripture tell us in 2 Corinthians we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be there for others. When Jacob was in the hospital, I think it was his second round, I met a young lady. In fact, he had a room 1 week. The next week, this young lady had the room. Jacob passed in January. In October, this young lady passed. And I had been in contact and been to see her and which was very hard. But then a buddy of mine said, "Will you speak at her funeral?" And I was like, "Man, I'll have to pray about it. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm ready yet." And so I prayed about it, and I actually went and saw a friend in the hospital who had leukemia. And after I left the hospital, I called my buddy, and I told him, I said, "I'll do it." And I want you to know, because of what I've been through, I knew what that family was going through. I knew what that dad was going through. And I could stand there and look at him. I was on this side of the platform, and he was like right there, and the family was right there. I could face his family, and I could look at him, and I could say, "You know, I've been there. I know what you're going through. Family, we know what you're going through, but God is faithful. He will bring you through it. It's not something that caught him off guard. His ways, his thoughts. thoughts are so much bigger than ours. We don't understand, but God has a purpose. And we'll see him one day again. But God allowed me to use the worst time in my life to minister to somebody else. And I was grateful that he did. And he's used me more than once. It's an awesome thing. God is faithful. And I just want to, I don't have this in my notes. I wasn't going to tell you. I don't know how long I'm supposed to go, but I'll go till the Lord says stop. So anyway, another thing God laid on my heart out there at that graveside. You know, I was always concerned about what heaven would be like. And you know, the wife who's married to a brother, and she, all the brothers die, all seven of them. And then she asked Jesus, who's going to be, you know, whose wife will she be in heaven? And Jesus says, you don't understand. There won't be marrying going on up there. And I've always took it in my mind that, you know, in heaven, we're going to worship Jesus. Yeah, I can't wait to see my family, but it's all going to be about Jesus. But another thing that God laid on my heart out at that cemetery on another day was this. How can anything on earth be better than something in heaven? It can't. My relationship with my son here on earth cannot be better than it's going to be in heaven. Because that's not how God works. So whatever it's going to be like, man, I'm looking forward to it. Amen. We'll be worshiping Jesus. Jesus will be the focal point. I don't know what our relationship will be like, but I know it'll be better than it was on earth. And I'm missing the one on earth. Amen. God is grand, my people. God is grand. And may I encourage you today, whatever you're going through, God's love is bigger. It's more than you can bear a lot of times. Not saying God slapped you with it. I'm saying God's got to allow all things. But the question is this. Do you know God's love? Have you given your heart and soul to him? If you haven't, either in this room or by media, if you have not given your heart and soul to Jesus Christ, he loved you enough to go through the very worst in order to give you salvation. All you got to do is tell him you know you messed up, and he'll forgive you of your sins if you ask him. And he'll bring you into a relationship with God. And I just, in your own simple words, encourage you to make that decision and say that prayer, asking him to save you today. Perhaps you've got something else. I know we're all going through stuff. Perhaps right now you're going through something else. You're a believer. You know God's got you in his palm. You know that you're going to come through it. But right now it's just more than you can take. This message is for you too. God's love will bring you through. He watched his son suffer when he could have taken his place or stopped it altogether. Because he loves you that much. Let me pray. God in heaven, we come before you today, Lord. And I thank you, even though life can be tough, real tough, more than we can bear, you're there. Oh, Lord, you are faithful. And God, we just praise you for that today. I thank you for the promise of heaven. And God, that those in Christ will see their loved ones, will see their Savior, will see their God again. God in heaven, I just pray for those who don't know you. Lord, time is running out. Today is the day of salvation. So, Lord, I pray if someone's watching this or someone's here today, and God, they've never given their heart and soul today, I pray they will not sleep tonight until they do business with you for your glory and your honor. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.